All right, for Ladies' Aid this month, we're talking about the woman's anger overcoming impatience. Now, perhaps already you are upset or angry because I say the woman's anger. What does this mean? The men don't get angry? This means that, I say that because that's the title of the chapter, or close to the title of the chapter from The Excellent Wife here. It is true that every human has issues relating to anger. And women are no different. And so we're talking about that at Ladies' Aid. Women's anger overcoming impatience. First, just a couple of brief examples from the Bible. There are many others that could be mentioned. Every war that's ever been fought is an example of anger, of course. And there's a variety of wars described in the Bible. But here's a couple of examples. One reason why we talk about anger first is just a reminder that anger is something that we frequently indulge ourselves in. It's something that's hard to fight against. And quite often it's also something that we put up with. We put up with other people being angry. We put up with ourselves being angry. We think, well, if you only would have seen me 10 years ago, you would realize how much better I am now. Well, I'm glad it's not 10 years ago. That doesn't mean you're doing a very good job now, right? That's the attitude, the response that we have to have towards ourselves. I always want to be pressing forward. We often can use things like that. Well, I'm not as angry as that person over there. I would never say that to my spouse or my children or my boss. I'm not like those other employees on the job. And so we think that somehow that excuses our angry thoughts, even if it's only in our thoughts. Well, biblical examples of anger. Just one, if you turn in your Bible, the first book, Genesis chapter 4. King Saul is an example there, 1 Samuel 18. We won't turn there, but we'll look at Cain's example from Genesis 4, verses 3 through 8. And Danielle, could you please read that for us, please?
Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him.
All right, thank you. From this example, what are some things that Cain is doing that displays his anger?
His expression showed it.
His face showed it? Very good. Anger, other emotions too, but we wear them on our face and on our sleeve, no matter how hard we try to bury them, especially anger. Anger, of course, makes our face what color? Red. In the Hebrew, and also some other languages, I believe, the word for making angry is not a word that was anger. If it was translated literally, it would say basically like a ringing of the nose, which would make it red. There's a proverb about that. Or there's another phrase that says to make something hot, because when you're angry, sometimes you say that person's really hot about something. Red hot in anger. All those descriptions that we know about, because those certainly are seen on our face and our attitudes. What's in our heart will come out some way or another. How else do we see Cain's anger displayed here? I'm sure we've all experienced that, certainly at least seen other people get angry and seen that on their face. How else is anger displayed? Yes?
At the end he kills his brother.
Yes. okay, murder, personal warfare, if you will, between two people, is... So in that light, what commandment tells us not to be angry? Right, thou shalt not kill. Okay, because there's no commandment that's... None of the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not be angry. Right? When it says, thou shalt not kill, our catechism summarizes it beautifully based on these kinds of things. That's an example of hit anger and the desire of revenge and outbursts of wrath are examples of hidden murder. But what about in between this hot face that he's got and the knife or however it was that he killed his brother? What else is in between?
Jealousy.
Okay, jealousy. Very good. We'll come back to that.
It said he talked with his brother, but I'm assuming that
he had an exchange of some sort, okay? An exchange of words. We have an idea what that might have been like. Was there hope for him, or was it just inevitable that he was going to murder his brother? Did Cain have an anger issue? Did he need to go to anger management?
Verse 7 says that he should rule over it, even though the desire.
Yes, he should rule over it, and God is speaking there to Cain, and it doesn't say that then immediately Cain killed him right at that moment, but later. Okay, so God had allowed Cain an opportunity to hear his word. God confronted him before it was too late, before his anger got worse and hurt more people in a more tragic way. All those things we'll see tonight in different ways, and all those things, just by looking at that one example, knowing what's down here, I can see how that fits. You know, the fact that God gives us opportunity through his word to be instructed in what anger means and how to handle it. The fact that anger is something in the heart that's shown in our face and our actions, and it can spiral down to something very, very tragic in terms of murder, but even beyond that, even in the words that we say to someone who is not just another human, but our own flesh and blood, our brother. That he could treat his own flesh and blood in that way, in his words. Yes, anger can do all that. Anger was not alone either. There was jealousy. There were some other sins connected to it. Okay, we're going to look at all those things kind of cut apart in these verses below. And just another example, Pharisees, of course, they had anger. They didn't like a lot of the things Jesus taught, and they started to plot how to kill him. All right, what are some biblical principles concerning anger? The first principle we want to look at is that God has righteous anger. The Bible tells us God is angry, but this is a righteous anger. When we turn to Psalm 7, verse 11. And let's see here, who would like to read? Take a volunteer. Judy?
God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked and the
evil. Okay. The Bible says God is love, and we're certainly very thankful for that, or we'd have no hope. The Bible also says God is angry with the wicked every day. A verse that most people would not believe is actually in the Bible. It's not the only place things like that are described. God is angry with the wicked every day because sin violates his perfect law. How has this anger been resolved? How did God solve? I won't say he's got an anger problem, but how did God solve this situation of anger? Or does he let it fester and grow, or does he bury it inside? Right, there's two basic ways you deal with anger, right? You either blurt it out in some angry thing, or you bury it inside and pretend it's not there, but it really is, and it eats you alive.
By sending his son Jesus Christ to
Yes. 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 And I suppose that really only half of the answer, right? Because there are wicked who are saved and there are wicked who are not saved. The wicked who are saved, God deals with that anger by giving Christ our punishment on the cross. The wicked who are not saved await that punishment till after this life for eternity in hell. God deals with his anger in a just way, in an appropriate way, according to his law and his faithful character. And just a reminder before we head out of town here on this topic, Psalm 30 verse 5 is a great reminder. So flip over there, and Judy, could you also read that verse, please?
For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Okay. God's anger is but for a moment towards his children, because he's resolved that in Christ. God has righteous anger, but number two, humans can have righteous anger also. And Ephesians 4, verse 26, a verse you can look up if you like, but be angry and do not sin. Right? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Be angry and do not sin. Humans can have righteous anger. But how is it that, what is something we can be angry at? We can be angry at. As Christians.
Sin.
Okay. It's natural, even for unbelievers in a certain sense, to be angry when somebody has some, there's some tragic murder in the community that goes on. It's natural for people to be angry that something like that would go on, that people would do that. Or that children would plot to blow up their school or something. It's natural for us, especially as Christians, it's right for us to be angry that people would murder their children. Abortion. It's good for us. We should be angry because God is angry with that sin. And so it's good for us. But how can we have a righteous anger? Because we know how easy it is to fall from righteous anger into sinful anger in a split second. Sometimes people ask us, they really, how can I be angry and yet not sin at the same time? And there was a good insight here from Martha Peace that I thought I'd pass on, and that is this, letter A. Make sure that the same time you're angry about this sin, let's say something your child has done, your husband has said, or whatever the case, same time you're angry at this, the very same moment, are you also obeying the words of these verses, Philippians 4, verse 8, and 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Okay? So read those, and I ask you if you can explain to me how you could keep all this in balance. Philippians 4, verse 8. Deb, would you please read that?
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Okay, and then over 1 Corinthians 13, then we'll just answer it all in one block here. 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Could you read that also, please, Deb?
Does not behave rudely, does not speak its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil.
Okay, describing love there. Christian love does not seek its own, is not provoked. Being provoked to anger and does not think evil. So how can you be angry and yet not be provoked to anger? How can you be angry and at the same time think things that are pure and lovely, good report and are virtuous? Okay, yes, sure. That's one important part that God, Romans 12 would say, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Right? So you might be angry or upset about something that's been done wrong. but it's God's place to have vengeance, remembering he's in control. The very same time you're upset, let's say you gave someone, a child, an order to do something, or a spouse, promised that, okay, yeah, you're going to be gone today, it's a Saturday, and I'm going to wash the windows in the house, and you come home, and right away, before you're even, you know, all the way in the driveway, you know the windows are not washed. You can tell that. You were looking forward to seeing all the way through crystal clear windows, but now you know something's happened. And you're angry, upset, frustrated, confused. He promised he would do this, and he hasn't. What has he been doing all day? Right? Well, you can be angry that they have not done the thing they said they would do or that they were instructed to do in terms of a child, if you'd instruct them to do something. But the moment you start to take it as a personal offense directed at you, then you're probably wandering off the boundary of righteous anger and no longer in there, but you're starting to be provoked. You're starting to stop thinking of things that are noble and just. That yes, they sin, but maybe it was something with their heart, but it's not necessarily that they just couldn't wait for some other opportunity to hurt me.
And maybe to be angry with the act that was done or not done, instead of attacking the person, like you let all these other things feel like that assist in not behave rudely, you can really carry it too far in your anger.
Right. I mean, it'd be nice to have the windows washed, but how important is it in the big picture of everything else? And yet, how important does it sound in the conversation if you had it recorded and you listened to it later? Yeah. Yes, very important. These are not easy verses to apply, no doubt. But I think this is a helpful tool because we say, yes, I'm supposed to be angry. There's times when I can have a righteous anger. How can I do this without sinning? Anger against the lawmakers and the foolish decisions that they make, even though you plead with them and you pray for them to do differently. But they enact laws that protect all sorts of ungodly behavior and forbid godly behavior. All sorts of examples, abortion, homosexuality, the education, being able to share your faith with at any time you want with people, all sorts of things that we are restricted in our country by. And you think, how can I be angry at these things and yet not sin? And remembering, I think what Deb mentioned, that God is on the throne and in control, certainly an important part of it all. Thinking of things that are noble and praiseworthy, and so on. Humans, God has righteous anger. Humans can have righteous anger too. The last things we'll just comment on real briefly, and I want to explain number five. Number three, anger, this is kind of important. Anger might help you get your way, but it never brings God's way. Sometimes people use anger as a way to manipulate others. They don't want to put up with you being angry, so they'll do whatever it takes to satisfy you, to keep you happy. So anger actually helps you get your way, but anger never brings God's way into the situation and out of the situation. All right? And you take that window washing example again. Okay? Being angry is not going to help. It's not going to make the windows clean. And it's not going to improve your relationship with your spouse either. Both things which would be honorable to God. To keep a godly and clean house and to keep a godly and clean marriage. Neither of those things will come out of an angry, sinful exchange in that example. In James 1 verse 20 is the Bible verse I'm referring to. Marla, go ahead, please.
For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Okay. The wrath of man, the anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. Okay? It's possible to have righteous anger, having anger, it's not righteous, will never make anything righteous. Just because you're angry at something doesn't make it a good thing to be angry at. And it doesn't bring in something. You might say, well, nothing ever gets done until I get angry. Or start raising my voice, or whatever the case is, right? Sometimes there's situations like that. Well, you might be getting your way, but you're not getting God's way, if that's the situation. All right? Number four, we are to be slow to anger. That's the verse right before that, James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or to anger. Okay? This follows through. Number five, anger is never lonely, but always, it seems, brings along its evil companions to our hearts. Anger is never lonely, but always brings along its evil companions to our hearts. Let's read some of those lists of some of anger's evil friends from Colossians 3, verse 8. Who can read that for us? Oh, okay. Go ahead, Cindy. Or Patty, I'm sorry.
But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth.
Filthy language. Anybody ever use that kind of that along with anger? Jealousy. We saw Cain eventually got to murder. Sure, all those things. Any other things that happen when you're angry? What other things might be more likely to happen when you're angry?
Say things you don't really mean, or you know, go too far.
In terms of like a criticism that you might make of somebody that you don't really believe, but you're saying it to make your point, or just because you're really angry.
I think sarcasm.
Okay. Sarcasm.
Mm-hmm. You bring up stuff from that happened 10 years ago. Okay.
You would have done that.
Your expressions of bitterness, resentment by bringing up old time sins. Yes. Doing something physical. Yeah. Sure. And it could be to the other person. It could be to the wall. Right? Well, we're not going to read this verse, but number six, their angry outbursts are deeds of sinful flesh. Outbursts of wrath are product of the sinful flesh. If you go to almost any psychologist, you look up in the phone book and you go in, you say, I've got a problem with anger. You go to an anger management course at work. 99% of the time when they're going to tell you how to deal with anger, they say you've got to vent your anger. You've got to find a way, a healthy way to them, to vent your anger. The only healthy way to vent your anger in the Bible is in prayer to God. Hitting a pillow, taking a baseball bat and you're hitting the pillow and making that pillow the person that you're angry with instead of actually hitting the person. I'm not making it up. These are like really people who get lots and lots of money and have lots of PhDs behind their names have come up with these ideas of how to solve anger. Running around the block, you know, exercise, all that stuff might help relieve a certain level of stuff, but it doesn't take away the anger because the anger comes from the heart. And you have to ask God's forgiveness for it to replace it with a right and godly attitude. And beating things up, even if they're not the actual person or the situation that you're trying to handle. That's called transference, a big fancy word. You're transferring your anger from the thing that you're really angry at to something else that's not really going to care too much, the pillow or whatever, is not going to help you. What might help you is something that some Christian counselors have suggested, and I have here on number five, and this will be where we close. A helpful suggestion is to create what might be called an anger journal or an anger diary. This could be done for any sin or weakness. Well, yeah, weaknesses. Yeah, it's a weakness, but it's a sin. fear, loneliness, worry, whatever. And that would be, here's how you might do it. You have a piece of paper, a notebook, whatever, and record, depending on, maybe you need to keep it in your purse all the time, I don't know. But record your angry thoughts, words, and deeds in this place as soon as possible. All right? This will help you, and then look at it later, and this will help you to see where you are weak, when, on what occasions, who was around, and so on. So you might be able to maybe I always get angry that certain meeting I have every month at work, there's certain people, I have the clash of the personality, I'm on edge that day, okay? Well, if you know that ahead of time, you identify that, then you're on your way towards figuring out how to deal with that anger in a godly way. Start anyway. Another thing this will do as you look there at this list is it will sober you and drive you to repentance. Realize, wow, and this is just the sins I thought I wanted to write, or didn't, what sins I remembered to write down, only in one area of my life. And then, this wasn't the example, the illustration of this lady, but it's what I think you should do with your anger journal, is you should do to your journal what God has done with it, and that's bury it in the cross of Christ, or burn it, or take a big ink, spill it on it, blot out the record for eternity, wiping the slate clean. Because that's what God does with all that anger. Right? We have to face our sin, and then hand it over to Christ, and then remember, we are forgiven for it, and move forward. And these notes we have where we realize where we've had the weakness, the occasions, the kind of people we've especially been expecting this anger towards, and then filling up our lives with these biblical principles. There's others, of course. The book of Proverbs is full. Just start reading through the Proverbs, and you'll see all sorts of illustrations of how to deal with anger. And just one, there's number 7. The Bible says you cannot be a person who stirs up anger and also a person who subdues anger. One or the other. Of course, God would not call us to stir up anger and strife, but to have gentle answers that turn away wrath. All right, well, that was a lot all in one shot, but I wanted to try and handle this all in one time. So I hope that's been helpful. Whether you're a woman or a man, we think about anger and overcoming that sin. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon us. We thank you for dealing with our anger, our sins at the cross of Christ. And we do pray that you cause us to press forward in his grace, to trust in you and in your forgiveness. Grant healing and peace and mercy to all in our relationships between us and family members, co-workers, fellow Christians, especially with unbelievers, Lord, that we might be a godly example. And by our godly walk, we might also win others to Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.